broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And you're invited to join us tonight. Our number 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to join us every night at 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're also online at philhendryshow.com right now. If you go to our website, you have a backstage pass. You can watch live streaming video of the show as well as listen to the live streaming audio, which is there on the website. There are other places to hear the live streaming audio. But only our website contains some 15 years of archived great shows, great audio from our radio show, every single solitary show that we can find, in fact, over those years. And you can also, of course, watch our five-day video archive and access our merchandise shop, check out our best of CDs, as well as t-shirts, hats, and shot glasses, and coffee mugs, and like that, philhendryshow.com. Okay, in a moment we have Jim Nancy from FACT, F-A-C-T, that is Free American Communications and Telecommunications, FACT. And Jim is going to talk with us about the ongoing troubles for Rupert Murdoch. I think it's time that we dig into this with a little more substance than just the pie throwing. And by the way, of course, you know there wasn't a pie. It was a tin with shaving cream. But the figurative pie throwing, a little more substance than that, and this Prince of Darkness, a kind of rep that Rupert Murdoch has. So Jim is a part of a liberal think tank. We will get that side of it, but I think it should prove to be very, very interesting. Also, breastfeeding dolls. What do you think of those? Well, there is one that is out right now. And it has officially launched in the United States. And the website that is promoting this breastfeeding doll is very interesting. It's a website that has on it a political commentary about Bill O'Reilly. Now, Bill O'Reilly ain't my favorite guy, but I don't know what that's got to do with a website promoting toys. You understand what I'm saying? So you go to this website, and you can buy your breastfeed doll. And we'll get into with Steve Bozell exactly what that is. And you can also read about what the company thinks of Bill O'Reilly. And, by the way, you also learn that the company is a fervent believer in God because they tell you what God thinks of breastfeeding. Now, I'm sure God's got no problem with it because, after all, he's the basic designer and engineer. But I just thought it was very fascinating stuff to put on the homepage of a toy company. It's pretty whack. Anyway, that's coming up next hour. Number 877-876-PHIL. And our affiliate spotlight tonight, it falls on KJCE in Austin, Texas, and in Syracuse, WFBL. Tomorrow I'm going to be at the Comic-Con, that is the comic convention in San Diego. And I'll be moderating a panel, hosting a panel, featuring all the actors, the producers, a lot of the writers, I suspect, from Napoleon Dynamite, which was a hit film and has been turned into an animated series, which I also has been very happy to and very fortunate to be a part of. So if you're around San Diego and you've got passes to the Comic-Con, come on over. 2 o'clock is when we're going to be doing our panel with all of the actors. Most of them, I think. I hope all of them are going to be there. Phil LaMarr, I know, and Tara Strong, and a whole crew of them there at the Comic-Con tomorrow, 2 o'clock. In San Diego. Also, on August the 7th, I'll be a guest on Kevin Pollak's chat show at kevinpollakchatshow.com. That's August 7th, 3 p.m. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And let's get on Jim Nancy now. Jim, it's very, very good of you to join us here this evening. And I know you're with a group called First Amendment Communication and Telecommunication FACT. Tell me what that is.
First American Communication Telecommunication was a think tank that we put together in 2005, and we wanted to assess the impact that the conservative media was beginning to have on our ability to interact and our ability to deliver news and communication, the accurate things we wanted to do, Bill. And we felt that what was needed was something that countered what we saw, an ever-encroaching and ever-dominating influence of the conservative media. I know that there's been a fair and frequent red herring among conservatives that the media is dominated by liberals. I don't see that at all, especially when we saw this display put on by the Murdochs in front of the House of Commons the other day. So it's an organization, a think tank, some of the more prominent liberal thinkers in our country. A lot of them people are contributing not only ideas, we have published papers three times a year, but people that when just sit down in a place, a comfortable place, we've got clubs, we have people's homes where we sit and literally do what a think tank is supposed to do, and that is brainstorm and come up with ideas. So
you were a reaction to what you saw was the encroachment of conservative media.
That is, yes, absolutely. And we, not to sound paranoid, but we just think that people need very much a definite alternative to the liberal viewpoint, to the conservative viewpoint, and give them a liberal viewpoint. When you talk about somebody like Rupert Murdoch, here's a guy that runs newspapers all over the world, is a man that influences the thinking in this country, in the United States. Rupert Murdoch got up in front of the House of Commons the day yesterday. I got up early for that, Phil. I think a lot of people did. It started at 6:30 in the morning here on the West Coast. And Rupert Murdoch, and I'm in San Francisco, California, and I know that you watched a little bit of it because you and I talked.
Yeah, I did. And as a matter of fact, I saw the repeat, and I must confess that I watched the repeat so I could see the pie throwing or the shaving cream throwing.
Yeah, well, the worst things can happen to people, and I'm not saying that I endorse that kind of indignity on anybody. I'm sure there's worse things that can happen to people, and I think it's if you talk about Rupert Murdoch and you talk about the indignities that he's put people through with the misreporting of his newspapers, with the lying, with the propagandizing that a Rupert Murdoch and his son James Murdoch have done, I think there are worse things that you could put somebody through than a pie tin with shaving cream.
All right, well, with us here is Jim Nancy. Jim is with First American Communications and Telecommunications, a think tank dedicated to the proposition. I guess I'm sounding very patriotic there.
We're dedicated to the proposition. We are patriotic to offsetting and giving an alternative to the conservative media.
All right, and Rupert Murdoch, in your mind and in the minds of a lot of people, represents the power of this conservative media. Now, when you saw him answering these questions there in front of the House of Commons, in front of that Committee on Culture and Sport, I imagine that you felt pretty good. True?
Well, I don't. I wouldn't want to describe that I felt pretty good. I thought, Phil, that you don't feel pretty good, you know, when you see something happen like that, where Rupert Murdoch has been called in front of a committee like this, and his son James has. You don't feel pretty good because you think you've won a victory. That was an inevitability. And let me explain what I mean. It was an inevitability that Rupert Murdoch, the way that he gathers news, the way that he reports news, the way that he hires people, it was an inevitability that Rupert Murdoch, sooner or later, was going to be dragged in front of a committee like that.
He wasn't exactly dragged, sir.
I beg your pardon?
He wasn't exactly dragged. I mean,
he wasn't going to say no.
Well, he went in, and by the way, after that so-called pie throwing, after that tin of shaving cream hit him, he came back. He didn't have to come back.
He didn't have to come back. I don't know what you mean by that.
He didn't. I mean, he could have said to them, you know what, my security and my safety have been compromised. I want nothing more to do with this hearing. I'm not coming back to this building. You may want to subpoena me, and maybe we can talk about these things in a more secure setting, and I'd be happy to do that. But he could have said, you know, I'm not coming back here. You have not provided a secure setting for this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that may be true. Phil, you give him a heroic tinge if you'd like to give him the patina of heroism like that. That is well and good, and you're entitled to do that. But the bottom line is, he knew, just as you said, that he is under subpoena and he would be brought back no matter where. I don't care if they're, Phil, I don't care if they're talking to the guy under a peach tree someplace, or if they have a picnic basket set out. If they're talking to Rupert Murdoch in with a picnic basket. What I'm talking about, or as Yogi Bear would say, the picnic basket, when we were kids. What I'm talking about, if you saw Yogi Bear, you saw what he would say, a picnic basket. He had the, I don't know what the guy was calling, it was a Yellowstone Ranger, right?
Yeah.
And you would have mentioned that Rupert Murdoch has been calling out to give testimony under a picnic basket. It doesn't make any difference to me where you ask him the questions, as long as you ask him the questions. And the questions that have to be asked about Rupert Murdoch is the following question. Do you understand, sir, that your newspaper, News of the World, was engaged in violating the rights, the civil liberties of private citizens that that's the business that you're in, Mr. Murdoch. And what have you got to say for yourself? And what he was able to do, I think, is I think it's always amazing to watch a guy like Rupert Murdoch, someone that has all of that money and someone that's got all of that power, and people just, you know, the Red Sea's part for a guy like that. And I thought it was amazing to watch as Rupert Murdoch sat there and had these people in the palm of his hand. And his son James, I think, probably didn't need to do all the talking. I think his son James could have shut up and let his father do the talking. He had them eating out of the palm of his hand.
Well, I didn't see that. I mean, I saw a man that was answering, I thought, some pretty tough questions.
What tough questions did he have to answer?
In one instance, one of the lawmakers asked him, I think one of them said, do you take responsibility for this?
And you heard what he said. You heard in the ego on this man to say no.
Well, that's not an easy question, and there were some follow-ups. There was also a question by one of them, I think, who said that, are you planning on closing any other newspapers? What have you done to make sure that this doesn't happen at any other newspapers? You know.
Well, he did, but who did all the talking? And that was his son, James. And he brought along that young man, James Murdoch. And I say young man, he's probably a Rupert Murdoch in training. He brought him along to answer these tough questions. He brought him along so that it would be a screen or a filter, whereby his father didn't have to answer the question. James Murdoch would squirm. And by the way, and this is interesting to your listeners, the news today said that James Murdoch most likely will be laid upon the sacrificial altar. And to use the graphic biblical example, Phil, laid upon the altar, and he will have the figurative dagger driven through his skull, probably by his own father. So,
You're saying that James Murdoch's going to get fired.
I'm saying that James Murdoch is going to be symbolically laid upon the altar, the sacrificial altar, by this old man, an 80-year-old old man who should have stepped aside a long time ago, and given his son an opportunity to clean that company up, to take a good, clean solvent to that company and scrub and clean and get the stink out of it. When Rupert Murdoch could have done that, he didn't do that. He stayed around, and now what is he going to do? He's going to take his son, and he's going to cut his throat from ear to ear. And
you're saying figuratively. I just, you're being very graphic.
No, figuratively, yeah.
All right, so you're saying that James Murdoch is going to lose his job.
I'm saying that James Murdoch is going to lose his position with the Rupert Murdoch empire, yes. That is not to say that James Murdoch doesn't stand to inherit a lot of money and is going to eventually have a big say in how that company is run.
All right. Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't know, but you have the information, Jim. And we're talking to Jim Nancy here, folks, of FACT, that is Free American Communication and Telecommunication. And what he's telling us is that Rupert Murdoch will probably fire his son. I don't know that I believe that. He's telling us that Rupert Murdoch got away with a lot in front of that British panel, that he charmed them, that he had them eating out of his hand. And, there's a few other pieces of news that we can get to here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to be back with Jim Nancy as we talk to the founder of Free American Communication and Telecommunication about the fortunes, good and bad, of the Rupert Murdoch empire and this Rupert Murdoch scandal. Next hour, Steve Bozell on The Breastfeeding Doll. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're from broadcasting from the El Pacifico. So if you're taking a look at Phil TV in HD, you are looking at the beautiful Pacific Ocean behind me. That's our outdoor camera. You can see that. You join us on our Phil TV webcast. You will also see us feeding some of the news from the net And we also broadcast sometimes from our sewer studio, also sometimes from our firing squad studio. Sometimes we broadcast from the clean-out area of the sewer. We've got two or three different sewer studios. So we basically took an entire building that at one time was a mental institution and converted it into a broadcast center. We're very proud of that, and we thank all the people that worked very hard at that, Bud, Robert, and a few others. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Joining me is Jim Nancy of Free American Communication and Telecommunication, and we're talking about Rupert Murdoch. Now, Jim, it's no secret, you're a liberal.
No, I don't. I've never tried to hide that, that's for sure.
All right, and you're not a Rupert Murdoch fan, so we're looking at it from that standpoint, that Rupert Murdoch was essentially called out by British lawmakers.
Well, yes, exactly, Phil. And let me put it to you this way. There was no question, at least in my mind, and I don't think there's any question in any thinking American's mind, that what's going on in the United States right now is exactly what went on in Great Britain. And with those newspapers and that News of the World and that young man that runs them, James Murdoch. Jim Murdoch is the son, and he was the president of News International. He knew everything that was going on. He knew everybody's phone that was being tapped. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rebecca Brooke was not in communication with him daily, asking him as to whose phone should be tapped.
You really believe that, huh?
I absolutely believe that. This is a young man that wanted the reins of power in that company. And he sees a guy like Chase Carey with that handlebar mustache that he's got. And if you've seen Chase Carey, I think I heard you and the band. The man that I talked to earlier, I don't know what his name is.
Jason Rantz.
Yeah, I heard the two of you talking.
Well, I was talking about Chase Carey at one time when Fox owned the Dodgers.
He was the man that was the go-to guy for Rupert Murdoch with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and now he's going to be the go-to guy in that company. If you look at the guy, he's got the big handlebar mustache, and anybody that wears a handlebar mustache, Phil, psychologists will tell you, and it's a very interesting fact, anyone who wears a handlebar mustache, they think they're some kind of a colorful character, and they think that they're worthy of people looking at them and emulating them, and aren't they colorful? And this idea that you can be a colorful character is fine. I got nothing against anybody that wants to be a colorful person, per se. But I do have something against somebody that has that handlebar mustache, is going to take over this empire at some point, and is probably going to drill even deeper into the consciousness, the soul, and the moral fiber of a country. So I think this guy, Chase Carey, is dangerous. I think when you look at a guy with a big handlebar mustache like that, and he thinks he's a colorful guy.
Let's stick with Rupert Murdoch. I don't know anything about Chase Carey.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know anything about Chase Carey. I don't want to talk about Chase Carey. I don't want to indict that man unfairly until and unless, you know.
All right, Phil, there's going to be a time, believe me. I've got a dossier on Chase Carey.
All right, well, that's fine, but I don't want to talk about him right now. I want to talk about where the focus of the story is, and that is on Rupert Murdoch.
All right, I can talk about Rupert Murdoch all night. Rupert Murdoch, Phil, when I was a young man, I would go to the movie theater, and on a Saturday afternoon, you could spend 50 cents, you go in and you see a movie like all of these exploitation movies. They had the 3D movie, The Pit and the Pendulum, and they had the Tingler, if you know the film The Tingler. And that was with Vincent Price, and there was a tingler on the screen at the very end of the movie. And they would say something along the lines of, oh, my God, the tingler's loose, or it's loose. The theater was like a worm or an insect that got into your brain. And it was a lot of fun. And we would watch these movies. Well, they always showed a newsreel before the movie, and they would show you what's going on in the world. And the thing that they were showing in those days was the Nuremberg trial. And you would look at these guys, and I swear, Phil, to God, it reminded me so much when I was looking at Rupert Murdoch in front of the British House of Commons. He looked like a Nazi war criminal. He looked like one of those Nazis that they had on trial at Nuremberg. And every one of those guys, you know what happened to them? They went and they went to the gallows. And when I looked at Rupert Murdoch, he looked like one of those Nazis that got found out and they did what they had to do. But you do with any Nazi. And Rupert Murdoch, I don't know what he's capable of. No one knows what he's capable of. But I will tell you this. There's no doubt in my mind that what happened in Great Britain is happening right here in this country. And if it's not James Murdoch or that Rebecca Brooke, it's this guy, the guy with the mustache, Chase Carey, who thinks he is some colorful character. And he may be colorful, all right, but he's got a listening device under your bed He has a listening device in your bathroom. He has hacked into phones. And
you hear what you're saying now. You're talking about not just hacking phones. You're talking about bugging people's homes.
No, I mean hacking phones. I don't have any evidence of bugging anyone's home.
Well, you just said that this guy's got a listening device in toilets and in bedrooms.
Well, I think they're using the phones. They're using the home phones to listen in on people when they're in the bathroom, listen to their bathroom habits. That's what I mean.
All right, hold on for a minute. We're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with Jim Nancy. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me. Actually, in San Francisco, and is traveling about the Bay Area this evening. I think he's close to home. Is Jim Nancy with Free American Communication and Telecommunication Fact. And we're talking about Rupert Murdoch and his appearance there before that committee. By the way, do you know the name of that committee, Jim?
Well, I think it was something. I want to ask you a question, Phil. I'll answer your question now. I think it was something. It was the British Committee on Sport and Media, Culture, Sport, and Media. And that is that's basically the British, that is their telecommunications committee. That is their committee. I don't know the exact, the one that you would call the mirroring of that here in the United States Congress. I'm sure that we have a committee like that. But that's what they do. That is their purview. That is their BTA. That's the area that they cover. And so when something goes wrong with media in Great Britain, whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's the Internet, or whether it's newspapers, any kind of media, that is the committee that asks the question. I had, speaking of mass media, and a lady just tweeted me, actually. They said she's watching you on the Phil TV.
Oh, great. It's a listener of mine.
Yes, it is. And she's also a fan of mine. I don't want to mention her name, but she said she saw you reaching down and she thought you were scratching something. And I had to say...
All right, okay. Well, I don't know that I want to talk about this here, okay?
What's that again?
I don't know that I want to talk about... This was something on my video cast off air.
Well, no, it was on the video cast. No.
I understand that, but it wasn't while I was on the radio.
No, that's right. It was on a commercial break. But I wanted to ask you a question because don't you, if you have a woman watching and she, you know that you got women watching, does it concern you? You know?
Does it concern me what, sir?
Well, Phil, I don't want to get in an argument with you, but I was just curious if it concerned you that this lady thought that you would reach down if you were scratching your genitals.
All right. I don't want to talk. I think that's very embarrassing, and I think it's unnecessary for you to bring that up.
Well, I apologize, Phil. I'm not trying to anger you. The question I was asking was it had to do with propriety. That's all.
Well, first of all, if I was doing that, no one would know because the camera that I'm using right now, camera 2, literally shows me from the middle of my chest up. You can't see anything. You can see a microphone, me, headphones, and the ocean behind me.
All right. Okay. Because I'm not watching. So I didn't know what she was saying.
All right. So that was someone who decided to tell you that. So I could be embarrassed. She's obviously not a fan.
I apologize, Phil. I can tell you very much. I know the lady, and she's very much a fan. And, you know, it could be that she didn't intend for me to read that on the air, and I apologize. But the reason why I mention that is because when we talk about media, we talk about inadvertent things or things that are on purpose. When you talk about a man like Rupert Murdoch, he knows every step, and he knows everything he's doing. Let me tell you something about Fox News. Because I had mentioned to you that I believe that this is going on here in the United States of America, and I really do. I think the United States of America is being used by Rupert Murdoch the same way that he used Great Britain. It is my opinion that Rupert Murdoch and Bill O'Reilly probably have a daily phone conversation. When this child came into the studio at Fox News, and Bill O'Reilly was on his way to the set, and there was a child there. It was the child of one of the workers. One of the individuals that helps to do a show there, I don't know exactly the name of the person, and I don't know the name of the baby, but there was a flight of some 5 or 6 stairs next to where this child was playing. You can argue that you're not allowed and should not be allowed to have a child near stairs like that. But the child was there, and the cameras were rolling, the audio was rolling before they went on the air, And it was Bill O'Reilly had kicked this kid, and you could hear, you could literally hear the child going down these stairs. All right, now
that's not a real recording.
No, it is not. It is not. It is an approximation of what happened, but we did not have that tape. And
you said that something. You said that the audio was rolling, didn't you?
The audio was rolling. The audio was corrupted, though, because it was on an old spindle. It was on one of these old spindle recordings or logging tape, and it wasn't any good. So we took it back to the studio, and we were able to approximate it. The child was probably no more than three. All right, and that was the kid going down the stairs. And
well, it doesn't sound real. It sounds like you dummied it up in a studio. It sounds like you used sound effects.
That is exactly what we did.
And but you're saying that that actually happened. You just don't have the tape.
We did not have the tape because it was corrupted because of the logging tape they were using. But I wanted you to hear, at least I wanted to give you a flavor or a sense of what Bill O'Reilly did as he walked by this kid. He looked at the kid. The kid bothered him on some level. And he, with a side swipe of his foot. All right, so I understand what your point is.
It's not a truthful record. And I don't want to use a sound effect that approximates something that you allege unless there is a truthful record of it somewhere that exists. Now, you say that there isn't one. Excuse me for a moment. I'm getting over a cold, and every now and again I have a little bit of an allergic reaction.
I understand.
You say that there isn't one.
I want you to know that I understand. I said that I understand because I can hear it in your voice, and it sounds like there's a lot of strain. So I understand.
All right, hold on for a minute. Anybody watching a video cast obviously can see that I'm struggling with that. I'm fine, okay?
But I can hear it in your voice, and I understand the pressure that you're under. And maybe that you, especially when I had cold, you can't hear very clearly. When O'Reilly walked by this kid and kicked that kid, and the kid went flying like down those stairs, it sounded exactly like that. That's not a recording. That is an approximation. And
where is the factual record of this happening, though, sir? Where is the factual record of this, Jim? Where is the evidence that this actually happened?
I've got a look for that officer. That's a very good question. But I don't, obviously I'm using an anecdotal reference to it. But what I'm saying, and what I think your audience understand, is that Bill O'Reilly at Fox News and everybody else involved with the Rupert Murdoch organization, there's something about them that has disquieted the American people for a long time. There's something about them that disquiets the British lawmakers, and there's something about them that I guarantee you is going to disquiet American lawmakers as soon as they wake up and say to themselves, by God, if it's happening in Great Britain, it's got to be happening in the United States.
Well, again, evidence is a nice thing, as the saying goes. And if there is evidence of something like that happening, then we want to see it or we want to hear it. But I've never been one, and I'm not going to start today, Jim. I've never been one who says, oh, well, think about it. It stands to reason.
That's exactly what I would say. Think about it. It does stand to reason. If it's happening in Great Britain, why would it be happening in the United States? And what?
I don't know. Maybe it's because we're smarter in the United States. Maybe it's because the journalists in this country have higher ethics or a higher standard. I don't. Maybe not. You know.
I doubt very much if that's it, Mr. Henry. You've got a conservative media here in this country whose ethics are as low as any I've ever seen. They're as low as anybody in Great Britain, and that's for sure. When you've got Rupert Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch doesn't just own a newspaper here in the United States. He owns a television network. He owns an enterprise that involves a network, a news channel, and a film studio. So that man is, without doubt, that man has his finger in every pie. And I think it's naive to the point of laughable to say that they aren't doing that. And
That may be true, but there is no evidence of that.
Well, I can tell you that I think Rupert Murdoch, you heard that baby, and you heard that child falling down the stairs. This is an actual recording here, and this is from, where is this, Friday, October 2006, and listen. Can you hear that, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear that. What is it?
I recorded that. It was outside my home. That was a child that was sent around by a reporter for the New York Post. He came around my home as I was conducting a couple of interviews with individuals who had been beaten up by New York police. And we were going to put this in my newspaper the next day and on my website. That child, the minute that I began to start to interview these people, that child began to scream outside my window. And that's when I put the tape recorder and put it up on the ledge. I'm going to play it again, Jim. Cut three. And the 2016. I put it up on the ledge. Now, at one point, I was asking questions of the individual. We'll go ahead and roll that.
Police officer dead.
I love these stadium wings. What is that?
I don't know.
Shut up! Shut up! All right, that's all I've got.
What, is that you yelling to shut up?
Yes, I told that child to shut up. I called Fox, and I called the news channel, and the newsroom, I said, you get Shepard Smith or anybody you know, and you tell them to shut their mouths. Now, I was very excited, and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, I want Shepard Smith to shut up. He's not doing it, but I want him to shut up, because I know that child represents Shepard Smith. And I half expected to see him standing out there on the street, interrupting my afternoon as I was trying to do these interviews. Now, this child continued, and we'll go ahead and play the whole thing for us to get a real good feel for this. Now, Shepard Smith, he isn't going to get me. He won't get me to shut up! Shut up! Now, that brat, see the brat? The brat's doing it. I'd throw that was a brat that was doing that on purpose.
All right, so that kid came to your home.
On the street outside my apartment.
That's in New York.
That's in New York.
And started screaming like that underneath your window. Why?
As I said, I was interviewing individuals who have been beaten up by the New York City police, and we were going to have a special on that on my website and our newsletter the next day in the village. And as I was conducting these interviews and talking to these people, all of a sudden, outside my window, and you can get the effect if you hear the kid. And I said to the kid, I said, you are not going to shut me up. You're not going to keep me from telling the truth to the American people. You are not going to keep this truth from going out. And I laughed, Phil, because I said to the kid, I said, do you know how embarrassing you are that you have nothing to say to me? All you can do is go, You can't put together one good argument why I shouldn't be interviewing these people. And the kid looks up at me and I just said, you know what? You're a child, but I hope you die soon.
You're yelling all of this outside your window.
You better believe I'm yelling all of that outside my window. I would have yelled it all out. I would have yelled it in front of Rupert Murdoch the other day. You better believe that, Phil. I know I sound like a kook, and I know I sound like a guy that doesn't have his act together or doesn't know what it is he's talking about. But I yelled at that kid. I said, go ahead, give me one good argument why I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And he sounded like a lot of these conservatives who have no argument at all. All they can do is yell and go, ah, la, 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 la. And I said, I hope you die. And I slammed the window shut.
Maybe what you should have done is slam the window shut originally, you know?
Well, Phil, to each his own, Phil, and everyone, there's more than one way to boil stew, as my mother used to say, and there's more than one way to shine your shoes, and more than one way to catch a train uptown. And there's more than one way to get into a Yankee game. And there's damn sure more than one way to play center field for the Yankees. And there's more than one...
All right, I understand. There's more than one way to do a lot of things. I'm saying it would have been just as easy for you to shut the window so you didn't hear the kid.
Well, I don't know, because you're going to hear, if you roll that tape again, you're going to hear the kid yelling. All right. Now, you go ahead, let's have a conversation.
Will you turn that kid off?
No. Listen, let's have a conversation. You can't do it. Yeah, how you doing, Phil? Shut up! And then I said, you can quote me. I said, I hope you die. And the kid, he made a gesture, and I'm pretty sure it was the finger. And he turned with his little skateboard or whatever nonsensical toy he had, and he walked away. And I said, you give my regards to your Grandpa Rupert. And he gave me the finger, because even at the distance that I was at, I could tell he was giving me the finger. And I said, you tell your Grandpa Rupert that I hope he has a nice day. And you tell your uncle, your gay uncle, Shepard Smith,
All right. You know, you have come on this program here, Jim, with a lot of unsubstantiated stuff. Okay?
Well, no. What do you mean unsubstantiated? You ask anybody in your listening audience, is Shepard Smith gay? And they're all going to come back with a big thumbs up. And I would say that the grandfather's boy, the figure of grandfather's boy, Rupert Murdoch, got that brat to scream under my window while I was trying to get the goods to the New York City Police Department. And then he gives me the finger and walks away.
All right, Jim, I think you are working on, again, and it's my least favorite kind of reporting, you are working on anecdotal information, hearsay, rumor, and gossip, and I don't think it's going to get you anywhere. The kid was screaming outside my window, gave me the finger. All right, back with our final segment, Jim Nancy from the Free American Communication and Telecommunication, a think tank, back east, even though he lives in San Francisco. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. That's it. Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. You know, we're talking here with Jim Nancy from Fact. Jim, I know that you got to where you were going. I guess you were heading home, and I was half joking there when I said that you have an East Coast think tank, but there you are in San Francisco. Why is that?
Of people from the East Coast. I didn't say it was located in the East Coast. I think that we get together all over the country, and I think this being a great country where you can draw from so many different sources of wisdom and intellect and creativity, a great many futurists, we can do that here in San Francisco as well as anywhere else. But yes, we have most of the people that I rely on, and most of the people that I think have gotten Rupert Murdoch dead to rights. When I looked at Rupert Murdoch on TV and saw him lying and lying and lying over and over again, and I looked at the way that man lied, then his son lied. I saw that Rebecca Brooks, she lied. And I looked at this, and this is a proficient display of what the media in this country has become. It is a well-oiled, well-functioning lying machine, a liar. And you know as well as I do that we are starting tomorrow a news network, which is going to be the Fact News Network. We want people to get used to hearing the News Fact Network sounder, where when you hear that on your radio, and we are setting up a radio network, and we're hoping we get off the dime with 150 radio stations, and we certainly do hope, Phil, that you will consider promoting it, Fact News Network, and when you hear our sounder, you'll know that we have the lie of the day. Now, Rupert Murdoch is a liar. When you send around an 11-year-old boy to stand out underneath my window and scream as if he's being mugged or thrown into the trunk of a car, only to be taken off and dismembered and put into a separate, how the serial killer does it, I forget how they do it, but generally they take the head, they put that in the bag, you know. And
what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about Rupert Murdoch.
And what has this got to do with a head in a bag?
I'm talking about when you send around a kid and you have that child scream under my window, and then the child gives the finger. As he walks away the finger, okay, I think you got an awful lot to answer for. When you listen for the truth sounder or the fact sounder, and this is it. I know that sounds like from the cartoon The Jetsons, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All right. The reason why we use that is because it's a generation of Americans who remember that sound. And when they hear that, of course, when you were a child, you thought of what when you heard that? What did you think when you heard that, Phil?
You know, I think it's a bad idea, okay?
I didn't ask you when you thought it was a good idea or a bad idea. I asked, what did you think of when you heard that?
I thought George Jetson was getting home.
Daddy's home. And when you think of Daddy's home, you know that everything wrong in the world is going to be made right. So that's why we decided. This is what we call, and I'm up for suggestions. This is the fact, truth sounder. Rupert Murdoch is a liar. He got there with his son, James. He told lie after lie after lie after lie. Now you got this guy, David Cameron, the prime minister, has got to stand there with his pants down around his ankles, his underwear around his knees, is, you know what, waving in the breeze, and he's got to explain why he had this Rebecca Brooks at his home. His home! He had the woman in his own house. Here's somebody that is tapping phones, and he's got her, in a bearskin rug with her rear end up in the air? I don't know.
No, David Cameron made the point that the woman never did spend the night at 10 Downing Street like everybody else did. Okay? That Gordon Brown had her over. Tony Blair had her over. I think a couple of other guys had this Rebecca Brooks over there. Cameron was saying, yes, she visited. She did not spend the night. Okay?
Well, you can believe what you want to believe, but I think this guy is cut from the same cloth that Rupert Murdoch is cut from. And when you hear this sound... This is a fact, truth, alert. David Cameron had Rebecca Brooks in his home. He says that she didn't spend the night. He says he didn't have a slumber party with her. Well, it's very interesting the word slumber party comes very quickly to David Cameron. David Cameron must know what a slumber party is. You know what that is. It's when you have a woman that isn't your wife, and she's there in those flannel pajamas, but you can make out every crease, every crevice, every crack. And you can see what she's all about, that's for sure. You don't need to have a doctor. I don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. And when you hear this sound...
Will you shut that crap off? Thank you very much, Jim Nancy. You can see every crack and every crevice. I'll tell you one thing. David Cameron did say he had Rebecca Brooks there at his home, but she did not spend the night. We'll be back. Steve Bozell.
When you hear this sound...